through 22. So follow along with us in this second chapter of the book of Ephesians. It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an inhabitation," or habitation, "of God through the Spirit." And stop reading there in that 22nd verse. All of that scripture reading today to point us that Christ came and he bled and he died and he brought man and God back together. And in his being here and dying on the cross, that this teaches us that he made a church. He established the church, as he said to Peter back in Matthew 16th chapter and verse 18. He says, "Upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The church is important in our lives today. And I like to preach to you a message that God laid on my heart: the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church. See, Jesus established the church to carry out his great commission found in the book of Matthew in the 16th chapter and also in the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew. And that is for us to go out and teach and preach to a lost and dying world that they might be saved before it's everlasting too late. That's why we not only have services here, but we also have missionaries that we help support in other parts of the world to try to get the gospel message of Jesus out to people before it is too late. The church is the house of God. It's like the wilderness when they were there in the tabernacle, that they would move from place to place. And once they got to another place and it was time, they'd set the tabernacle up and they would have worship. I believe we ought to have worship. It's the pillar of truth that we have in our lives today. The church is there to guard the truth. And if there's ever a time in our history that we need to guard the truth, it is today. Because the truth is being so evil spoken of and being denied and walked upon. We need to train God's people and proclaim his word to a lost and dying world. Throughout the whole New Testament, the church is addressed, if I recall correctly, going back to Greek, over 110 times in the Word of God is church identified. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to establish a church for all generations. And the church has changed over the years. But thank the Lord, there is still the church of the living God. And we are proud to be a part of that church today. It's not the name over the door, it's what's on the inside that makes it a church. I am Baptist because I believe in the Baptist doctrine. But folks, let me tell you, a lot of Baptists are going to be surprised when they get to heaven and they meet people of the Church of the Living God that weren't Baptists. Some of them Pentecostal, Holiness, Church of God, Nazarene. And even to surprise some of you on a Sunday morning, some Catholics that would be there also. And I say that, and we have some former Catholics with us today. I said former. Thank God Jesus moved in their heart, and they got saved by the grace of God. Amen. But from the beginning of him lying down, the church was established, that we could have a place, that we could come together with purpose, and to be able to have a place where we could worship him in spirit and in truth. From the book of Acts going forward to the book of Revelations, we find many other churches mentioned. And I'll not mention all of them this morning, but we know that many of the New Testament books are written to the church at Corinth, the church at Galatians and Ephesus and the Philippi and Colossae and the Thessalonica in Hebrews, and then over in the book of Revelations where he talks about the very familiar churches to us this morning at Ephesus and also Smyrna, and then going down to Pergamos and also Thyatira, and then moving forward to Sardis and Philadelphia, and also there even at Laodicea. The Bible is very clear. God loves church. And people ought to love church. It's designed to help us along this journey of life. You see, every believer needs a church. Amen. And the church needs every believer. We get comfortable with those that are there week in and week out, but we also need to make room for those newcomers to come into the house of God, because you and I were once newcomers and the church made room for us. We have room for all believers and all non-believers, that they might become a believer in Jesus Christ. The church exists today that we might preach the gospel. How many of you love to hear the gospel message being preached week in and week out? We still have a story to tell. Parts of our story is old, they would say. Some of it goes back 2,000 years. Some of it goes back 6,000 years. But the old story, it never grows old. Hallelujah. It never grows old. We need to preach the same gospel that our forefathers preached. The world has changed. God has not changed. Many of our churches have changed, but God's church is still the same. He doesn't come down to those that are just in mighty numbers. In fact, he told the children of Israel, I did not pick you because you are the mightiest. I picked you because you are my people. Hallelujah. He picked us because we were sinners headed to hell and we needed to be saved. And he saved us and he put us into the church of the living God. You see, we come to church because we have spiritual needs. We have emotional needs and we have physical needs. We have heard these testified to this morning. I started to say when Tara was testifying, wait till you hear the message, because it goes right with what her friend was saying to her this week. The church exists that we might teach the Word of God, because there's a lot of teaching that goes against what the Bible says. There's only one way to heaven. It's not your way or my way. It's God's way. You can't join. You can't do enough good deeds. You can't buy your way in. As Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's the only way you can get into the church. I am a proud member of the Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church. But before I was ever a member of a local church, God put me into his church. And his church has never been defiled. Never been defiled whatsoever. but to teach the word of God in the spirit of the Lord, that we might be able not to go by man's understanding, but to go with what God wants us to learn. The scripture says that the Bible is not of private interpretation by anyone, but God will give to all of us what we need to know about the word of God. If we will ask him, he will give it to all men liberally. And we need a church that knows the word of God. You ought to know what you're amening and praising the Lord, whether the man behind the pulpit is telling you the truth or not. We don't have a secret sect or secret words that we use or some kind of phrasing or presentation to try to hide it. But the word of God is not hidden, but it's open to all that will receive him today. We ought to see that a church is here to restore those that are fallen. There's not a one of us that can hold up our hand and say we have never sinned. The church is for those, and God laid this on my heart about a week ago, and I've got my little notes written down in the car, and I didn't bring it in. But you know what the church is? Church is for broken people. Broken people. People that are broken physically. People that are broken spiritually. People that come in with their broken dreams, their broken hopes. They're bring in the word that God has given to them about what's going to happen in the future. And we're broken because we're concerned about our people that are still lost and undone. I wish everybody would belong to a church. A good church. Not just any church, but a good church. We're here to restore the fallen. But never let us forget, the main purpose of the church is to get the lost saved. And the only way we can have people that are lost get saved is that we have to preach a gospel that is alive and well. We got to have a praying church that will exhort the singers and the preachers, not just to tell me a fairy tale or tell me some type of nursery rhyme, but tell me what the Bible says about the word and about my life. I'm telling you this morning, when I was under conviction and the preacher was preaching, I felt like he did not like me. I felt like the whole church was looking at me and knew my condition. But praise God, they love me enough to tell me the truth about the word of God and where I was headed if I did not get saved. The church is here to build each other up. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, says that we are here to build one another up, not try to tear down. You know, somebody might say they can't sing the song like I sing it. It's their song. Let them sing it however they sing it. If it's out of pitch and out of tune, if the Spirit of God is in it, it's worth listening to. Amen? Let the preacher preach what God lays on his heart. Don't try to dictate what we can and cannot preach from out of God's word. If we start tearing pages out of this book, we'll start tearing our names out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Because you have to have this book in order to know that you're lost and that you need to be saved. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians that we are here, a church is here to glorify God. Let the redeemed of God say so. And let the redeemed of God lift him up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. When we start putting ourselves out front, we are hiding him. And let me tell you, you didn't come to see Roger this morning. You come to see the Lord move in the midst of the grand old church. That you that are broken, and all of us are broken in some tense or another. Amen. That we might be healed. That we might, as they sing that song, that the Spirit of God would just move. And we would be able to pick up all the broken pieces we have in our heart and our life. And bring them to the only one that's able to put them back together And that is He, the Lord Himself. He has fixed me up so many times. Hallelujah. If y'all could see me in my spiritual realm, in my physical realm, in my emotional realm, there are so many times that God has put me back together. Not to be comical today, but if you could see me in nakedness, you would, and I'm not talking about in body, but I'm talking about in transparency, I would look like Frankenstein. Because God has put me back together so many times. But yet I don't. Because not only does He put us back together, but He heals us over. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. He has done so much for us today that, Brother Ott, we could never thank Him enough for that mighty healing that He has that comes through His Word. The Bible teaches us we have church that we might obey the ordinances of God. That once you're saved, you ought to be baptized. How many of you remember your baptism? And not just baptism, but we also have communion. And we just had that a week ago, was it not? A couple weeks, thank you, Ronnie. And we ought to practice those. Because He said, as oft as you do, do it in remembrance of me on a hill called Calvary. Our blessed Lord was crucified, but hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He didn't stay in that borrowed tomb long, just 3 days and 3 nights, and then the next thing they know, the stone had been rolled away, and our Lord was alive and well, and He's been alive and well ever since. Amen. But you see, it's also that where we come, that we might, as Timothy was told by Paul, church is a place where we might come to grow. He told Timothy to feed the flock. Any preacher that doesn't feed the flock ought to be thrown out. Amen. Because you see, under shepherds are put here that we might, the sheep might be fed, that they might grow. Every once in a while, God will give me a message and I'll say to you, sheep, be still. The lambs need to eat just a little bit. They can't eat where you've eaten at because they've not grown up and nurtured enough to eat there. But praise God, I hear Sterling Boland to say, oftentimes a preacher would be preaching way over his head. But then every once in a while in the message, he'd say, Jesus. He'd say, oh, I may not know much about how deep in the water he's preaching, but I know about Jesus. Amen. I can celebrate when He says the name Jesus because I can identify with Him today. He also tells us in 1 John, the purpose of the church is that we might have fellowship one with another. I think I said this, I've talked to so many this week at the hospital, but I said this, that I am closer to my church family than I am my natural family. Because we have so much more in common. And we have fellowship one with another. I believe as Brother Ron mentioned to me a couple weeks ago that, you know, we used to have fellowship on the third Sunday night every month until COVID came along. And it's about time, I think, that we strike those up again. Somebody put that together for us, would you? That we might have fellowship because it's not just good to have fellowship in service. But I enjoy the time that we can spend together. Not at a funeral home. Not at a hospital. Not upon their bed of affliction. But while we have the ability to just walk down the steps and just have a cup of coffee or some kind of a treat together, that we might listen to one another about the good things that's happened to you in your life this week. Because this world has got enough bad news. I enjoy some good news along the journey. Amen. So it's good for us to have fellowship. And the fellowship that we get closer together as we pray one for another. And we see God move in the midst of our prayers. How many of you believe and you know for a fact, let me just rephrase that there are folks that you have prayed for and God has heard and answered that prayer. Amen? You know, that just brings it all together. That's what the church is for. I've helped you and you've helped me. Amen. Times when I was down and you lifted me up. Times when I saw you was down and we prayed a prayer. I can't take full credit, but I do want to say I know I prayed for you. And I know God hears the prayers of his children. And today some of you are with us this morning because God's people loved you enough to pray for you and take your name before God and say, Lord, if you don't touch them, time is short. But yet, God, I know it, whatever your will is, you can speak the word of healing and it can come to that household today. Not just physical healing. We got a bunch at the house today that are sick. And I know you've been praying for them. But not just physical healing. We got people whose lives are so messed up. They don't even know which end is up. But I know a man who can take their life and turn it around. Instead of them being defeated, they can be victorious. Instead of them being the tail, they can be the head today. Instead of them being the loser, they can be victorious in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. I got a lot to preach about this morning. As we preached on Wednesday night in our message, church is for us, as he said in Psalms 55, church is for us to bear one another's burdens. Yes, to bear one another's burdens, that we might help each other. When I seen Ronnie walk in this morning, I just said, thank you, Lord. He's a sick man. Was a sick man. But can I tell you, sickness has to flee. When the Spirit of God comes through the room, that sickness has to go away. The church is for us to edify one another. Build up. Growth is encouraged. As I talked about Maddie, and I could go back to same to Sarah and some of these other kids, and Jack and also Grayson and Hope, and the list just goes on. Maddie and Tori and all these kids today, when I think about their growth, I say, Lord, enlarge their minds that they will be able to comprehend what they need to go out into a world and make a living for their families. But more than all of that, God, would you touch their hearts? Oh, praise the Lord. Would you touch their hearts so that they would realize that no matter how high they ascend, without knowing Jesus Christ today, it is coming to naught. But if they know the Lord and God takes them up high, they'll be able to lift up hands and say, it wasn't by my strength or my power, but I got here by the grace of God. Look what the Lord has done for me today. And that they won't be exalted, but that God himself will be exalted. I know every once in a while I talk about politics, but what we ought to do is say, look at Mike Pence. God used a Bible-believing, church-going man and exalted him all the way to the vice presidency of the United States of America. And you say, well, what about Trump? He's a God-fearing man, but I tell you what, I believe Mike Pence's testimony is a lot stronger, don't you? But yet God could make a man, in fact, all of our former presidents before this new age era came along, many of them were God-fearing men. In fact, the first ones were God-fearing men and stood upon the word of God and proclaimed that we are the children of God and we're a nation of God. And church, we need to get back to the way our forefathers set us up. It's to pray for one another. I've already talked about it. It's to forgive one another. Has anybody hurt you? We all would say yes. You know, some people just run their mouth just to hear themselves speak, not realizing that when they do, they could tear down a brother or sister. If you ain't got nothing good to say, keep the mouth shut. Oh, that's blunt. Let me rephrase that. If you ain't got nothing good to say, keep it to yourself. Yes. We ought not to be talking when we ought to be listening. Church is for us to exhort love and good works. I love helping others. It gives me pleasure to help others, no matter how small or how big it might be. You see, we're missing this in our country today. If I don't get paid for it, I ain't doing it. Let me tell you, there's a lot of self-gratification that comes from just lending a hand. Giving a dollar to somebody that's in need. Reaching out to those that are stranded and trying to help them. In fact, I say this from the depths of my heart. There ain't no one of you I wouldn't try to help if I could. And I believe that that ought to resonate throughout the whole church. And I know at Mount Carmel, it does resonate. Amen? It does resonate. Because you see, by us helping others, God helps us. He helps us. We ought to encourage one another. Keep on going. I know right now for some of you, the path is dark. But keep on going. God's promised us better days. You say, but what if the outcome isn't what I'm praying for? Keep on going. Better days are coming. And Brother Jim, it may be when we're all around the throne of God, but a better day is coming to every one of us. We grow together. Becky and I sometimes, in fact, we was talking about this down at the hospital this week. We met in church. Anybody else meet your... I know some of you, I knew when God laid this on my heart, some of you couldn't raise your hand. Did anybody else meet yours in church house or through church? Brother Eli, thank you, brother. There's two of us. But we met them in church. And the Bible teaches us not to be unequally yoked. And you say, I can change them. Becky's been trying to change me for 43 years. And she ain't changed me yet. I've been trying to change her for 43 years, and I haven't changed her yet. You see, we are our own person, but we grow together physically, spiritually, emotionally, and even our way of thought. We grow together. We have compassion in the house of the Lord. We are fed in the house of the Lord. And as God laid this on my heart, my mind went back to many years ago. But we follow examples that are set before us. I've got mentors in my life that have guided my every step. I've stumbled along the way. But I've got mentors that have helped me. Some of you today, as well as some that has already gone on to be at the Lord. Wayne's daddy. Yes. Some of you know I'm pointing to Edwina. Brother Raymond Hood. What a great man of God. Just a deacon, as some would say. But he loved the Lord. Brother Murray, Ernie's daddy. He had often pulled me aside. He said, I don't know why Ernie ain't ordained you yet. He said, you should have been ordained a long time ago. And I said, just keep praying. God will work it out. You know, sometimes if I can put this in, we worry more about the ordination than we do about preaching. You see, Sister Kylie Rowland wrote a song that sums it up about the purpose of the church. In some cases, we pray each other out of harm's way. Some of us say, I've had a good life. I've not had any major obstacles. You know why? Because somebody has prayed for you. And God has dispatched angels to encamp around about you. Some people say, Roger, you're just too old-fashioned for us. I say, I can't change. I'm too near home. And if I change, I won't be able to feel what I feel in my heart. And I'd rather have this than to have worldly popularity or great gain. I'd rather have this than anything I know. You see, church is crucial. And I'm about to close. Church is crucial. If your car needs fixed, you take it to a mechanic. Ain't that right, Jack? If your body sick, you go to a doctor or a hospital. If you need a spiritual uplift, you go to church. I'm not talking about just any church. I'm talking about a church. You go to the church. And Paul told him in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, a church is like the body. Every one of us has a function. Every one of us. You may not be the eye. You may not be the hand. You may not be the foot or the leg. You know, many years ago I preached a message here about the body. And one of the most useless things that I could think of at that time to say about, sometimes I feel like I'm a cuticle. Yeah. Or maybe just a wart. But I know in God's knowledge, even a cuticle is important. So whether, no matter what part I am, I have learned to be happy where I'm at and to do my function for the Lord. In closing, the main purpose of the church is to get people out of hell. Help me today. And help them make it to heaven. It's not about building you up, building me up. It's about building him up. Because there are souls. Listen to me very closely. As Robin Sharon gets us a song. Very closely. People that have come to the age of accountability. If God was to call right now, or this time of this world was to come to an end, they would forever be bound to a devil's hell. That's the gospel. They are as much, even though they're alive and walking around today, they're as much in hell as we are in heaven. And we need to help get them out. How can I help them? Bragging on your church. Tell others about your church. Be active in your church. Roger, when we was through COVID, I think the first or second time that we were here during COVID and we was recording them and putting them out on the internet, these church pews were empty. Oh, and it grieved my heart. It grieved my heart. It grieves my heart when I look at where you sit at and you sit at and it's empty. I know there's some that's sick and can't be here. But I also know that there are some that are well and could be here. And the church today needs every member, not just for numbers, but there are souls in danger of going to hell for eternity. And it's the purpose and the responsibility. In fact, it's your reasonable duty to just submit yourself to your church and to the work of the Lord. In fact, the writer said, fail not the assembling of yourselves together. And as we was in Sunday school this morning, I'll close with this last verse. A verse just popped off the page from Luke 1:17, the latter part. And the Lord told him to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And I thought, man, that'll fit right in with the message. And then Tara testified about her friend standing there and saying, it's like 1,000 hands coming. You let something happen to one of ours. And we want a church that is on fire for God, that can pray, one that can move mountains. And as the writer said, that can take those valleys and lift them up. And every mountain brought down low, that we could have a peace in our heart and our life. Yes, there's going to be hard times. There's going to be difficult days. There's going to be things that we're going to face that we don't want to face and we thought we would never face. But through it all, hallelujah to the Lamb of God, the church has always been there. The church has always been there. You don't have to crowd a hospital room or a funeral parlor for them to know the church is there. Ask Amy. Ask Courtney's family. Ask Brother Ron. Ask Brother Wayne or Sister Checky. Brother Otten. Can I go around the house and how many of you, and let me just do this. How many of you know in the hour of your despair, the church was present? Yeah. That's the purpose of the church. Not what I can get out, but what I can give. This morning, as we close with an altar of prayer, in a message like this, you say, "Well, Roger, we're already here. What can we do different?" Be dedicated. Be prayerful. Ask not what we can do for you, but ask what you can do for the church. Amen. Well, you used to amaze me. We have work days up here at the church, and we got to get one coming up, Brother Ron, before homecoming. And the oldest members of the church, Cecil, be out there climbing on a ladder, trimming this tree out front, a bush, whatever it is. And it amazed me. Even though they were up in years, they still had a desire to give. And you know, some people say, "I don't know how they made it so long," because they were givers. I believe this. The more you give, the more God gives to you in all facets of your life. But today, maybe you just want to rededicate your life. Maybe you've been slothful. Maybe you've been away from God. Maybe you've been at church services, but you've not been in church. You know what I'm talking about? Your body's here, but your mind is absent. Because you're thinking about everything else. When I go to church, I try my best to leave everything else at the front door. Because in here, this is what matters. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song. Follow your hearts this morning. Anybody at all this morning? We need you. God needs you. He's counting on us. Are you where God wants you to be in your spiritual walk? Or are you away from God? Maybe you're here, but you just not been as committed to God. I didn't say dedicated, committed to God. To work for Him in the house of the Lord and out in the workplace or in schoolhouse. We need workers. Workers to get the word out. Jesus is coming. He's coming. How is it with you?
Yes.
I've said this many times, and I'll get out of your way. But even if there was no heaven to go to, I'd still want to be a part of the church. Yes. Because this is the greatest institution that there is. I come here down and I'm lifted up. I come here feeling sorry for myself, and I hear about what others are going through, and I have to beat myself up and say, Roger, you ought to grow up. Quit being such a wimp. Grow up. And sometimes I come here and I'm uplifted. And I believe through the songs and the word, you become uplifted. Amen. The sun will shine tomorrow. It will shine tomorrow. God bless each and every one of you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Remember the purpose of the church. And the purpose of the church can only be accomplished if every one of us do our part, no matter how big or how small it may seem. In fact, let me say this. Every part is equally important. Some say, well, I just attend. No, if you just attend, you should have hit the altar. Because the preacher and the singers can't preach and sing unless somebody is praying. Amen. We got to have prayers. You know, at these football games in the NFL, the louder the crowd gets of the home team, the better the home team should perform. And worse, that the visiting team should perform. That's the way it is in church. When we all get in that same spirit, we could drive the devil out of the house of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'll preach on another half hour or so. God bless you. Have a good afternoon. Get you some good lunch, a snack, whatever. And get you a nap if you need it. And then come back tonight ready to have church all over again. God bless you today is our prayer.